Hey, good morning. We're going to continue with Kiddush, part two here. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to do... I don't think we're going to hit up any of the some of the major issues, like Kiddush B'Malkum Suda. We're going to save that one for next week. But we're going to continue from one of the questions that somebody asked last week about saying Kiddush in a group and how that works, exempting the other people. Yes. We're gonna talk about that a little bit. There is a lot more to say, but we'll talk about it a little bit. Then we're going to talk about who drinks from the kiddush. Yeah. We're going to talk about what I think is a very interesting question is about how you pour it out. Assuming that other people are going to be drinking from it, there's a very interesting question about how you're supposed to pour it out. It's based on halacha. It's based on a halachic consideration, a few halachic considerations that we're going to come across. We're going to talk about that for a little bit, and we're going to finish off with some of the laws of the Kiddush cup, and we're going to start the question about using a plastic cup such as this. Can you say Kiddush in a plastic cup? We'll start that, and then we'll work into that. Already, I see something very interesting that we'll probably come to next week. Is it looks like one of these is a better quality one than the other? So that's a subset in that question. Is a subset in the when you can use a plastic cup? Is what if it's a nicer plastic cup and as opposed to one of those really rinky-dink ones that you just use one time and throw out? So we'll come to that towards the end. So we take a look at we're going to do these two Aruch HaShulchans here. Well, yeah, we'll do all of them because he's going to talk about saying Kiddush and exempting other people in your group and why that's preferable. Meaning he thinks it's the best case scenario, source one. Best case scenario is to say for one person to say Kiddush for everybody else, as opposed to everybody around the room going around and taking a turn saying Kiddush. So why is that? So we'll see. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, Yachol Adam Likadish Lacherim Bein Anashim Bein Nashim Bein Gedolim Bein Ketanim. So you're allowed to say Kiddush for other people. It doesn't matter, men, women, adults, children. You can say Kiddush for somebody else. And here's the bigger point. Alpha Bishena Ochel Imahem Bekan. Even though you're not going to be eating with them, you can literally pop into your neighbor's house, say Kiddush for him, and walk out the door on your way home from shul. Vilididei lo altalo ha-kiddush bekan. And the Kiddush won't even be good for you in this place because you're not going to be eating there, let's say.
Even if they put some, we call them biscuits, cookies or something. So if they've got some bits and pieces out, you make Kiddush with them.
And you eat those cookies.
Yes.
So that is going to be something I think we're going to talk a little bit more about next week, about what constitutes a seuda that would... So if you said Kiddush, and let's assume that you can eat your mizono, like I think most people do assume, then you fulfilled your Kiddush. Well, you did fulfill your Kiddush in that case. What happens if you just walked in, said Kiddush, didn't even drink the cup...
But you said the bracha. So
you said the bracha, and you just walked out. The question is...
If you have to make the bracha, you've got to have the drink, haven't you?
Okay, hold on. We're going to have to talk a little bit about that. That's the general rule. But we're going to talk about how that applies to Kiddush.
That's what you were saying. You said that you go to the neighbor's house, you do Kiddush for them, you say Kiddush, you don't drink, you just leave the thing on the table and walk out.
Yeah.
You're ruffling a feather.
You walk in, you see he's about to say Kiddush. You take it out of his hand. You say, "Is it okay if I'm emotzi you?" Because if you don't have intent to fulfill his obligation, that doesn't work. You say, "Can I be emotzi you for your Kiddush?" He says, "Yes." So he has intent that you fulfill it. You have intent that you're going to fulfill it for him. You say Kiddush. You hand him the cup and you walk out the door.
Wow.
So the question. So he says, "Afal b'shein ochel imam mekan."
Avram, it's a Kiddush thief.
Well, today, yeah, it's not going to work for you. It doesn't work for the person who says it, but mikol makom, second line in source one, l'ditu havi makom su'uda. For him, this is Kiddush b'makom su'uda. The yotzim b'kiddusho. And that person fulfills his obligation. The person whose house it is fulfills the obligation with the person who just stepped inside to say Kiddush. You're allowed to fulfill other people's obligations, even if you already fulfilled yours, Or if you didn't fulfill yours already, v'lo dami the birchas hananin. So now it's not considered to it's not comparable to birchas hananin. Birchas hananin is the category of a bracha on things that we get benefit from. So most commonly, that would be the bracha that you make on your coffee, let's say, right? That's a birchas hananin. I can't say shehakol nia bidvaro. You answer amen to me, and you start drinking, unless I am also going to be drinking myself, because in that case. I didn't do anything. It was a bracha levatala. I can't say shakol ni'abidvaro if I'm not drinking anything. Yes. If I'm going to be saying shakol ni'abidvaro and drinking something, you could answer amen to my bracha, and then
even
you
if you didn't have it in mind that
so presume we you need to have in mind. That's I think that's the general basic. The interesting question is when can we assume that you had it in mind? There's gonna probably do you need to explicitly have it in mind, or can we say for Kiddush, if everybody's standing around the table, we presume that the person is saying Kiddush on behalf for everybody, and everybody around the table has intent to fulfill it, and the person making it has some type of basic intent that he's saying it for everybody around the table, or do we need something more explicit than that? I think I would guess that the presumption would be that you don't have to. I do think the Mishnah Berurah might point out that you should make sure that everybody's aware that you're saying Kiddush for them, and that everybody knows what's going on. But we could presume, yeah.
The way you can do it on Friday night, for example, even on a Saturday, is go up to the man and say, "Do you want to make your own Kiddush?" And if he says, "No, I'm with you," then that's
right. Right. So you can point it out. And what about for your own family? And what about for your family? If nobody's there, you're not asking anybody. Do you say to your family, "Everybody, pay attention, because you're going to fulfill your obligations with my kiddush"? You just say because it's understood exactly. Presume that it's presumed. Yeah, I think it's presumed. So he says it's not comparable to birchas hananin, a bracha when you get personal benefit and personal enjoyment, where that. You can't fulfill somebody else's obligation. The mitzvah shiny. What we're saying Kiddush is not necessarily birchas hanehenin. It's a birchas hamitzvah. That's what we talked about last week. There's a mitzvah to say Kiddush. So when you're making the bracha on the Kiddush, it's what we call a birchas hamitzvah. The kevan de al hashomim muta chovas hamitzvah lekayim kol Yisrael arevim zebazer. Right? Because there's a mitzvah on everybody to hear it also, so we can apply the precept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. We spoke about this a bit last week. All of the Jewish people are guarantors for the rest of the Jewish people. So therefore, because it's a birchas hamitzvah, that's important, it's a birchas hamitzvah, that means that I have an obligation to make sure that you fulfill your mitzvah, you have an obligation to make sure that I fulfill my mitzvah. Therefore, since I have an obligation to make sure that everybody else fulfills their mitzvah, I could do the mitzvah on your behalf for you. As long as, you know, you're paying attention, I'm fulfilling your mitzvah. I'm helping you fulfill your mitzvah by saying the Kiddush for you. As long as we're gonna come in a few minutes to the saying a main thing, which is it seems to be not necessarily but highly recommended. So umotzi echad es chaveiro av kishem motzi ein sarich atal aza. I could help you fulfill your obligation even if I'm not even fulfilling my own obligation. It's different than birchas hananin. The birchas hamitzvah, because I have an obligation of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh, that I need to make sure that you fulfill your obligation, just like you need to make sure that I fulfill my obligation. Therefore, I can fulfill your obligation without me fulfilling mine at the same time. Okay, is that complicated? Is that clear? Right? I don't have to fulfill my obligation to help you fulfill your obligation. So,
the same
and then,
thing with
yeah,
the wine,
yeah, right, the wine, right, right.
Wow. My question is, who drinks the Kiddush from the Kiddush cup?
We're going to come to that. We're going to come to the drinking. We're going to come there. And then he says, even though there's a bit of a birchas hanehane involved in that you're making a bar priyagafen, he says that that's really all just part of Kiddush, so we would view Kiddush as a birchas hamitzvah. Therefore, it would seem that even if I said Kiddush and I didn't even drink it, and I put it down and I gave it to somebody else who heard it to drink, we're going to come to talk about the drinking in more detail in a few minutes, that would be okay. But now, coming to Siv Vav, let's skip to Siv Vav. He says that this isn't as ideal, this Kol Yisrael Arevim Zabaza, right? It's only really if the other person doesn't really know how to do it, let's say, or maybe doesn't want to do it. If they could do it themselves, better to do it themselves. Now coming back to the point about one person saying Kiddush versus everybody saying Kiddush. Mm-hmm. Better for one person to say Kiddush and to fulfill everybody else's obligation than you go around the room, right? Some people, mishum berov am hadrat melech. Barov Am Hadrat Melech is a different concept that we come across occasionally. We're going to have a few, excuse me, the next two sources are going to have other examples of this. It means, in a majority of the people, we honor and we glorify the king. That there's mitzvot that we say the best way to do them is with a multitude of people. So this, he says, is one of them. So better to have one person say Kiddush so that you can have a Barov Am, that we're all doing our mitzvah together at the same time to give kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then for each of us to say it separately. It's interesting. And he quotes the Gemara. Then yeah.
I'm sorry.
This was actually based on your question from last time.
But what about those Shabbos tables where people ask the men, do you want to make your own kiddush?
Right.
How does that affect what
you're saying? So, I'm not sure why people ask that.
I'm not going to ask it anymore after what you just told us, because he told us now.
In fact,
it's better
for one person.
So I'm not going to ask it anymore.
In fact, I don't want to misquote, but one of the rabbis in Yeshiva University, when I heard it, I don't remember what the topic. I think it was just on a tangent that this came up, and he said he doesn't ask people whether they want to say Kiddush, because the best thing is for him to say Kiddush at his house for everybody present. He quotes it. He says in the next line, he says there's places that everybody say Kiddush for themselves. That's not v'yesh lamonam. It's not appropriate to do this. We should stop them from doing so. Ulam them, and we should teach those people sheyesh yoter mitzvah kishe'echad yikadosh vad kulam. That one person should say kiddush for all them. It could be that v'chavin lahotziam v'heim yichavnu latzeis. So it could be that his next line is why people do it. So he says there's going to be two things that you just have to be careful about. One is that you need to have intent. All the people listening need to have intent to fulfill the mitzvah. And the second thing is the person saying it needs to have intent to fulfill all the listeners. And the third thing, we're going to talk about in a minute about the amen, but you need to make sure to hear it. At the very end of source one, you need to make sure to hear it. Don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, because that's an indication that you're not fulfilling your mitzvah with the bracha. It's a hefsek. So it could be that people ask others because there is, from what I came across, one posek from the last few hundred years who does say that it's better for everybody to do it themselves. So it could be that that's what people are basing it on. Or it could be a more practical concern that maybe somebody's going to forget to have kavana, to have the intent to fulfill it. Or they're going to start spacing out in the middle and they're not going to have heard any of it. And then all of a sudden everybody else is going to say amen and they're going to, you know, come too. It could be like any of those concerns or more practical concerns. But really, the best case is if one person says kiddush and everybody else listens to it and says amen.
It is prettier, it is nicer.
It's exactly, it's
the
real
vow. Yeah, because you're focused, everybody's focused, and
the queer might come where you have a Shabbaton where you've got, let's say, 60, 70 or 80 people there, and if you've got to make specific arrangements then to everybody and say, look, now I'm going to make kiddush for everybody, otherwise people will, each table will say their own kiddush.
Mm-hmm. Right, you have to tell people.
Then one person can make the kiddush, and they drink the wine. And as long as you've heard it, nobody else has got to have anything to drink on the table.
We're gonna come to the question about drinking because right. Step one is can one person say kiddush for everybody else? Step two is if yes, okay, now who's gonna drink the grape juice? Does everybody or does the person who makes it or does somebody else who heard it?
In small settings the person often says, doesn't ask if anybody else would like to make kiddush, but says, can I have you all in mind?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's like another way. Right, letting them know without offering them the option to to say, yeah.
Letting them know that they should want to be included, have a kavan on their part.
So, wow. Right. So the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Brachos in general, from source 2. This is from Hilchos Brachos in source 2. He says, he quotes the concept, Einim avarech motzi acherim elim ken yochal v'yishta imam. You can't fulfill somebody else's obligation unless you're eating and drinking with them. This is for a birchas anan in like a coffee. V'az yotzim b'shmiyatan shemechavnin elav afilu lo yanumin. Even if you don't say amen, right, but you're listening, that seems to still work. And the Mishnah Berurah says, the Kaimelin in source 3, he says this is based on the concept of shomea ka'one. The concept of shomea ka'one is if you heard it, so it's as if you it's attributed to you. It's very interesting. I only thought about this and looked at it basically on my way out the door. It's very interesting how shomea ka'one exactly applies to kiddush. It's not something that to go too much in depth, but there's a very interesting question how the mechanics of shomea ka'one, how they work. Does shomea ka'one mean that when you say something and I listen, does it mean that it's as if I said it myself, those words came out of my mouth? Or does it mean that I'm fulfilling my obligation with the words that came out of your mouth? And that's the subject of a big machlokas between Rashi and Tosos that specifically applies, let's say, to Kedusha. The shul gets up to Kedusha.
Nice.
And you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, should you stop and listen to them or not? So if we view Shemei Kona as the words are coming out of my mouth, which is I believe how the Tosfos understands it, then it's as if I was saying Kedusha, and then it's as if I was making an interruption in the middle of my Shemona Esrei, because it's Ke'ilu I said Shemona Esrei myself. If it just means that I'm fulfilling my obligation through your words, then it would make sense for me to stop and to listen so that I'm fulfilling my Kedusha, because it's not as if I was saying it myself, but I'm fulfilling it through what you're saying. So how that exactly applies to Kiddush or not, I saw that seems to be machlokas, a big machlokas achronim in the mechanics and how we apply the mechanics. Just wanted to point that out. If anybody wants, I can try to look into that a little bit more, but at least to me it seemed to be very interesting, and it's a good thing to be aware of how Shemei Kona works. Yeah?
If it would be where you said that you're thinking that it's coming from you, mm-hmm. then how could you answer Amen? It would be like answering Amen to yourself. In other words, so you have to kind of think that it's,
so
coming, that I'm
interesting.
Thinking that it's from you so that I can then say Amen.
Thank you. Yeah, interesting point about the saying Amen. So we said from here, you don't have to say Amen. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. You don't have to say Amen.
Okay.
You know, So and then the Mishnah Berurah, if we just skip two lines here, he quotes this concept. If a few people are doing a mitzvah all together at the same time, one of them should say the bracha. Again, diberov am hadrat melech. We want to give glory to praise God in the masses, in the multitudes. So it's better for one person to do this. We have another just another quick example of this in source 4. This is from Hilchos Havdalah. Is that Hayu Yoshvim Bebeit HaMedrash Veheviyu Lahem Or Echad Mevarech Lekulam? It seems like you didn't have fire beforehand, so all of a sudden later on that night you get a fire and everybody's sitting in the base medrash. One person should make the bracha for all of them. The Mishnah Berurah again quotes here that the reason you do that is because Berov Am Hadrat Melach. The question is, I don't have an answer to it. Maybe when we get to Sukkot time we could talk about it more. Is that, for example, lulav and esrog, when you take them in shul, right? Everybody picks up their lulav and says the bracha themselves and shakes it right before halal. That seems to be a good example of a case where you could say Berov Am and let the shliach tzibur make his bracha on the Tilat Lulav and everybody is going to do it at the same time. I don't know. I'm sure there's other examples too. It's an open-ended question when exactly we apply this concept of Berov Am Hadrat Melech, that we want to do things with as many people as possible. But certainly for Kiddush, certainly for Kiddush, We would say Barov HaMadrat Melech. The best case scenario is for one person to say Kiddush for everybody at the table, and that seems to be the halacha. Okay, the next question is going to be about, okay, well now if one person says Kiddush for everybody else, who should drink from the Kiddush wine? So in source 6, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Sarech in Sif Yud Gimel, Sarech Lishtot Mikos Shel Kiddush. Well, we'll talk about how much and who drinks. Kimlo lugmav, you have to drink from the Kiddush cup a cheekful, one cheekful. Lugmav is your cheek. A cheek, mlo is full. Okay, we'll see. One second. The hainu kol shi salkenu litzat echa b'fiv, and this means is that you pushed everything to one side of your mouth, right? One cheekful. V'yirem elo lugmav, and how much is this? V'hu rubo shel revit, a majority of a revit. So a majority of a revit would fit into half of your cheek. This is the minimum amount that you have to drink from your kiddush. So how much is a revit? So this we don't really know. I wasn't going to talk too much about these measurements. They seem to be subject to some very interesting science experiments. The Noda Behuda did his own experiments based on our sources, and he found that the eggs had gotten, he assumed that eggs got smaller over time, and therefore all the shirim should have doubled, which is why some people eat a ton of matzah on Pesach, because they assume everything, you really have to eat double what it says, because the Noda Behuda assumes that our eggs had gotten smaller over the course of history. So the eggs that they were talking about when we use the eggs as a volume, were really much bigger back in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara. So just three to four basic opinions for... should just stop talking. three to four basic opinions of this, which, because I didn't really want to go into the measurements in detail. So Rav Avram the Grachna, Rav Avram Chaim Na, who died in 1954, was a expert in shiurim. He wrote a whole sefer on all the various shiurim, did a lot of the calculations. His assumption is that a revit is 3 ounces. That's on the lower side of his is the lowest of all the opinions. So that would mean it would be you'd have to drink 1.5 ounces from your kiddush to have fulfilled the obligation to drink the kiddush. So that's his opinion. The Chazon Ish is at a much higher spectrum. He says 5.3 ounces. So for him, you'd have to drink a lot.
Oh, it's more than
half of 5.3. 2.5. This is 5. How much is this?
That's about 5 ounces.
About this. So you'd have to drink about half of it. So that's already a decent amount. And the
half. Because
Molly Lugmav is half.
Wow.
Yeah. And the two other opinions are Moshe Feinstein. I think it's hard to track down exactly his opinion. I actually looked this morning in my Pesach Haggadah. I have one of the art scroll Haggadah, the Haggadah of the Rosh Yeshiva, and they have all their opinions at the beginning. I figured that's what they would quote it there. So they quote him as saying that it's four. I'm just going to take a drink. That. For Pesach, because Pesach drinking the wine is a derabanan, the Ramosha thought it was 3. Some people say 3.3. But for Kiddush, right, if you remember, we saw it last week, that Kiddush might be a mitzvah d'oraita to even say it on the wine. So Rav Moshe, because he wanted to be more machmir by the d'oraita, he thought 4.2 ounces. And the final opinion from the Star K website, that's the Baltimore, big Baltimore kashrus agency. Are you from Baltimore? So the Star K website, they write that based on the Chafetz Chaim's calculations, which were in turn based on, I think, the Noda Behuda, they did their own experiments. I think that was interesting to me. They did a lot of experiments, and they found that it was 3.8 was their counting. So it's all roughly between. You know, I think if you did 3 to 3.5, whatever, you're gonna that's the minimum amount that you need to have in your cup. And you need to drink half of that. So that's the...
3.2 to 3.5 is about...
Yes.
Hmm? 100 mils. I didn't get it.
But if everybody has to drink half of that...
So no, we're not... We're talking about one person here. One person, now, one person... Well, maybe it could... We'll see in the next halach. We'll see in the next halach in the Shulchan Aruch. So he says, Im lo ta'am hamakadesh, the person who says Kiddush did not drink anything, v'ta'am echad me hamisubin kimlo logmav, but one of the other people that was around that he was saying the Kiddush for decided to drink it, yotza, that's okay. The person who says Kiddush doesn't have to drink it himself, somebody who heard it could.
Somebody else drank from the Kiddush cup.
I said Kiddush, put it down here, and Gili decided to drink it for everybody that was around the table here. That would be okay.
Oh, so it's a person that's assigned to drink it.
Anybody that heard the Kiddush had intended to fulfill their obligation from your Kiddush. You intended to fulfill their obligation from them listening to you. So you're all part of this one mitzvah together. So anybody who listened to it could drink it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But usually, like the blesser will pour a little bit in.
Yeah, we're gonna come to a halachic issue. We're gonna come to a halachic issue and talk about. There's a few different options for pouring
it
out.
Right.
That's actually the next line in the Shulchan Aruch. The Ein Shtiya Shnayim Mitzareves L'Malay Lugmav. What if we all decided to drink a half an ounce? So if we all drink, I'm not going to do the math. Let's say we each just drink a very little amount. So when you added it all up, it came to 1.5 ounces. Does that work?
Do you know what a shot glass is? Like for whiskey, that's about what, an ounce?
1 ounce, yeah.
About 1 ounce.
Yeah. So let's say everybody drank a very small amount. Does it join together? The Shulchan Aruch first quotes, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. But he says there's a mitzvah for everybody to have a little, at least a little bit from the Kiddush cup. So if we all drink a little bit, it doesn't. We can't join together to come to that 1.5 or 2 ounce sheer volume that we had to drink. And he said, but he says it. But the truth is, everybody should drink a little bit. Then he quotes another opinion that if we all drink a little bit together, it joins up. We're going to talk about a very practical case where this happens, I think. D'shtiyat kulam mitzarefet l'kshiyor. The Gaonim sovereign, and he quotes the Gaonim, she'im lo tam ha-mekadesh lo yatzo. The Gaonim say that the person who says Kiddush actually has to be the one to drink it. And we should try to follow what they say. I mean, it sounds like, you know, if you didn't do it, okay, you didn't do it. The best case is the person who says Kiddush should drink it. V'davka v'kiddush v'alvashar divarim hatunim kos modim hagonim v'sagi v'timas acher. But for the other things that you need, that you said kos shel bracha, you could, the Gaonim would say that the person who says it doesn't have to drink it.
What other things?
For other things that need that we would say kosher bracha, like havdalah, for example, that for somebody else could drink it, or the Mishnah Berurah quoted a few other. Benching is the other kosher bracha. The person who benches ala kos, but at the end wouldn't necessarily have to drink it. Somebody else could drink it.
Right.
So.
But of course, for Pesach, the thing is, you have to drink the 4 cups of wine. You have, when you do the brachas each time, you have to drink it. You have to actually drink it.
Well, right, because Pesach, Pesach, you have a chiyuv of drinking arachos, so yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So the Aruch HaShulchan here, I don't know if we're going to go through the whole thing inside here, but he tries to explain this opinion about why. We'll do Sif Lamed Vav. Sif Lamed Vav here. So he says, "V'tam de'a rishon she'ein mitstarf in hamale lugma mishtias shnayim." So he says the reason that we all can't drink a little bit and have it joined together, mishum depachos mimale lugma ein ba hanagmur. He says that's the shear where we would say you enjoyed a little bit of your wine. If somebody has less than 1.5 ounces, he's going to say that if you don't even fill up a cheekful in your mouth, we would say you didn't get any you didn't really get any real benefit from it. And he says it could be that there's a requirement that the reason somebody has to drink the Kiddush wine is so that you get some enjoyment from it. But then he quotes a different opinion of Al Haritva Kasav Be'erevin B'Shem HaTosfos in the third line, Shemitstarfin Shtias Kama Me'amesubin Lichmale Lugmav. Because he says, even if you have, most people, even if you have a 1 ounce or a half an ounce, you'll get a little bit of a benefit, and that should be good enough. And fine. So that's what he says. So I'll tell you where I think that this halacha is relevant about people drinking from Kiddush or not. So, and this is really based on one of my friends. So one of my friends pointed this out to me a few years ago, that a lot of times if you go to Kiddush in shul, the person who says Kiddush for the whole shul, if it's the rabbi, that's one thing. But a lot of times you'll be in a shul and it's not the rabbi, somebody else who just gets up and says Kiddush. He'll say Kiddush, he'll say Peripri Agafen, and he'll take the tiniest amount, and then put his cup down. Sometimes he'll pour it out and other people will take too. So if he pours it out and other people take, then if enough people take, so then you could all join up, and at least between when you add everybody up together, you'll have somebody that drank one and a half, or 2 ounces, whatever the amount exactly is. But he noticed that a lot of times the guy would just take a little sip and put it down and walk away, and then everybody would go and start eating. So the, right. The truth is that's not a good kiddush if nobody drinks the required amount. So what would he do? He would walk over and he would pick up the kiddush cup and he would just take a cheekful, because like what we just said, that anybody that heard the kiddush really could go and drink it. And he felt really good about himself, because he often saved the day, because people weren't familiar with this halacha. They didn't know that you needed to drink the rover viet, or those 2 ounces. So he would go, and otherwise everything was a problem afterwards. So he would go and he would save the day, and he would go over and he would make sure to drink some. But I think that's an important concern for anybody that says Kiddush, is to make sure that you in fact drink, or somebody drinks enough to make sure that it was a good Kiddush. Yeah.
And ladies are included.
I don't see why not, because especially because the Shulchan Aruch that we saw last week said that everybody has an obligation. Men have the obligation, women have an obligation. Yeah, why not? Why not? The interesting question that I saw alluded to is what about giving it to your child? To
someone?
Yeah.
A woman has an obligation, men has an obligation, but does a woman have a lesser obligation if she didn't daven? Like on Shabbos morning.
Shabbos morning is a derabanan.
We're talking about fresh
but here, Shabbos. I don't see why drinking.
We're talking about night now, or it doesn't matter.
I guess it doesn't really matter. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
I'm talking about if she didn't daven in the morning. Does she have a lesser obligation for Kiddush?
Why?
I don't know.
Well, I think next week we'll talk about the saying Kiddush before davening question, especially for the... I think this was about eating mizonos. I think we're going to talk about that. That's going to come up come next week, I think.
No,
so
it sounded like from last week's discussion, it was actually that she had more...
Right, at the nighttime, because she didn't.
Because she didn't say something at
shul. Right, because right, that was for the nighttime, right. Oh, right. Oh, I should also point out that, though, for the daytime, because the daytime, according to everybody, is a din derabanan, that Rav Moshe, who says 4.2 ounces, I believe that would only be for the nighttime kiddush, which is the Doraisa. For the daytime kiddush, he would say it's the same thing as what he says for Pesach, whatever, which is either 3 or 3.3, depending on who you see quoting him. So that's a difference. So now the question is going to be, so we just saw the Shulchan Aruch that says that one person has to drink at least a rover viet, but the Shulchan Aruch also told us that it's mitzvah min hamuvchar sheyitamu kulam, that everybody should drink a little bit.
Wait, but I don't understand, the Shulchan Aruch says you could join together or no?
He quotes both. Yeah. He quotes both. I think, he quotes both. So you could rely on it.
So my experience was years in the U.S. Teenage,
yeah,
actually,
yeah.
Where we had a kiddush almost every week.
Okay.
And what would typically happen is that the rabbi or somebody else would get up and make kiddush for everybody, presumably, and there would be a whole table set up with wine or other things, and families would go over, and every family member, a man, would make kiddush for his family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what always takes place.
Oh.
That was the one.
From what I can only tell you from what I saw, my personal perspective, that happened because one of the people wasn't in the shul when the rabbi said it. That was what I assumed. Otherwise, I don't see why. unless you have a concern you didn't eat right, you spaced out, or you...
Or you have a concern that the person who made Kiddush in the shul didn't drink.
Yeah, but if it's the rabbi, he would know, yeah.
Actually,
the rabbi would know.
Whenever you focus on how much he was drinking, we just focus on listening and hearing it.
Okay. Maybe because of, there's a hefsek in between the Kiddush, like if you go Kiddush in the shul, and
that's
going to
be Kiddush Mokom Suda, yeah, it could be.
So maybe that's what
people
would be.
No, it would be the Mokom Suda. I know some ways they do it in the
room. Okay. Okay. So we're gonna come back to source 8. We're gonna jump to source 11 now. Source 11 is gonna tell us there's something called Yayin Pogum.
Seven comes 11.
Yayin Pogum, which is wine that had been drunk from before. Somebody took a sip out of this wine. And the halacha is, you're not allowed to use wine that somebody took a drink from for something that requires you to koshal bracha, for birchat hamazon, or for kiddush, or for avdallah. So let's take a look at this. That was used. Meaning, I said kiddush. I came home, I said kiddush. I drank, you know, what I needed to drink, and I have half a cup here, and I just don't want the wine. You come along, and you see that, oh, look, there's still a ravid of wine in here. Okay. I'm going to say kiddush on that. Or maybe I'll add, we'll have to see about adding to it. I'll say kiddush on that.
That you're not allowed to do.
That's cool, right. So that's called, pugum means blemished or unfit. It's unfit because it was used once before. Okay, it's leftovers. It's basically leftovers. You know, it's not a nice thing to use for your kiddush. Yeah. Okay,
that's why you're not allowed to pour it back into the bottle.
Well, we're going to talk about that. That's you are allowed. You are allowed to. That's we're going to talk about how you fix it. Right, there's a way to fix it, and that's probably the way. Okay, so in source 11, Shulchan Aruch says Mekadesh al kos malayayin shelo yihye pogum. You can't use unfit wine, blemished wine for your kiddush. And you need anything, all the halachos of a cup from Birchas Hamazon, we're going to apply those to here. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And then you should say and then you should say Kiddush. So he says from here, you can't use Yayin Pogum, blemished wine, for Kiddush. The Mishnah Berurah says in the next source, in source Mem Gimel, we'll do Mem Gimel. Shelo yepagum hainu sheim shata echad mimenu. If one person drank from it, pigamo, he made it pagum, he made it unfit. Ve'ein lekadesh alav, and you should not say kiddush on this. Ve'ayin la'el b'siman kufpei bet shasham uvor prati dina kos pagum, and he says I explained all the lachas of yain pagum over there. Only if it's in an extenuating circumstance, you have no other. This is only the wine that you have left. Only under worst case scenario could you say kiddush on yayin pogum. And so that's what he says. And then in Memdal we'll see this because this is a good halacha too to know. Hainu sheyia koshalim via mudach heitev mivifim mivachutz. Right, you should use a clean kiddush cup. Make sure you washed it out nicely. Don't use a dirty cup. That's part of the halachas of using a koshal bracha. So we see from here that you can't use yayin bagum. So now we're gonna. The question is gonna be right. The question is gonna be when somebody makes kiddush and then you want to drink right. You have to drink. Let's assume the person who says kiddush is gonna drink his 2 ounces. How does he pour it out? Because if he drinks from it, it's now pogum, and it could be that he's giving pogum yayin to everybody else around the room, which is something that we want to avoid if we can. So what are possible solutions for that? So.
I don't understand the problem.
The problem is that if the person who makes the bracha and then drinks the wine, the wine is going to be pogum. So if he gives it to other people to drink, they're going to be drinking pogum wine.
Second kiddush.
But they're going to be drinking yayin pogum, which is a part for their kiddush.
But it's part of the same drinking.
I've seen this with.
Okay, so it's part of the same drinking. That's going to be a solution. No. That's going to be a solution.
I've seen this with Hasidic Rebbe in Brooklyn. And what they do is they make the kiddush on the wine. And this, I don't go for this, but he does this. And the thing is that what he does is he makes the kiddush on a big silver goblet wine. He first drinks it, and he passes it from one person to the other. Okay. And they drink it.
Fantastic. That's solution. Totally. That is solution.
Yeah.
Well, is it?
That's in the, yeah, we'll come see that inside, yes.
He makes the bracha, and then he pours into a little bit of, and then he drinks. So he's because not only is it disgusting and unhygienic, but it sounds like it's also not halakhic to make somebody else drink somebody you've already.
Okay. You know, so that's right. That's another option. Another option is pour it out and then drink it yourself.
To
yes.
Close to the Rebbe, so yes. They're not the last one to drink it.
Okay. So.
The only problem with that is that you're supposed to not delay a mitzvah.
You're delaying your mitzvah, yeah, right. There's we're going to have to. So the question is if that's a delay of the mitzvah or not. There are some, I think the Beis Yosef, who says that. That it's not a delay because you're involved in the mitzvah, which is one of the a detail in delaying. Although some people do view this as a delay. I'll just tell you what I do before we see some of these opinions inside. Is I usually pour out into another cup, just into one cup.
Yes.
One time, so that I could delay the mitzvah at least. Then I drink out of my Kiddush cup. And then we can take from that cup, and then we can pour it into the. Because instead of pouring it out into taking 2 minutes, I'll pour it. I'll make Kiddush
into another cup. There's your Kiddush cup.
Then I pour it into another cup, like half of it. Then I drink from the Kiddush cup because I think it's better to drink from the Koshel Bracha. I drink from the Kiddush cup. Then we take from that other cup and we pour that one after I drank into little cups. I think that's a compromise of sorts. You can add more,
and you can add more to that second.
Yeah, that's the.
So the advantage of that is you drink it from the coast.
Is drinking from the coast of bracha, and I'm delaying what I think is the, and I'm not drinking from my cup to pass it around to everybody to share germs, and I'm not delaying, and I'm not making a pogum, and I'm not delaying the 2 minutes it takes that you know when somebody you pour a little bit into each of the cups on your table, and it takes.
So you said you could add to the second cup if it's not.
I didn't like look into, but yeah, that's like the general.
So I do the same.
So how do you do that? You wait till you finish what's in there, or you fill it up completely?
People usually fill it up while there's a little bit of the Koshel Bracha in there. That's the general practice.
You'll add to it before you pass it to people again?
Yeah, that would be. Or you could,
What I do is I pour it into like a bigger pitcher instead of another cup.
Okay.
Add more, in other words, so that way you have plenty in there.
Okay. So for the pouring out option, there is something that I was not familiar with until I was preparing this year, and that if we take a look at the Mishnah Berurah in source 8, he tells us in source 8. So umamagen Avram hiskem ledat hatosvos to kos shel chova. That when I were to say Kiddush and I decide I'm going to pour out a chunk of my grape juice into another cup, I need to leave a revi'it, whatever that shear was, 3.3 or 4.2 or 5.3, I need to leave that in the cup for me to be drinking from. That's what the Magen Avraham quotes from the Tosfos. Again, the Koshel Chova. Sarech liyot hati'ima. You have to have taste. Daf gamikosh yesh bo revi'it yayin. And that's why he says, V'alkein, hanachon shiyasa kein yishpoch mitchilim ekos original toch kos acher. When you're pouring it out, yizar shishayir bo revi'it yayin. Make sure that there's still a revi'it yayin left in your Kiddush cup. And then drink the malei lugmav, the 1.5 ounces or 2 ounces out of the cup, out of your cup. So that's an important thing that if you're pouring it out, make sure it makes sense. Yeah,
you have to have what you need. I mean,
Right. So make sure you have your
for Friday night. You've got to have a revi'it. Yeah. The person making the Kiddush should have a revi'it.
No, he should drink half a revi'it, but he should make sure that his cup that he was drinking from had a revi'it after he poured out.
And he then drinks it himself, so he's got to have that amount.
He has to drink half a revi'it. Yeah,
half a revi'it. So then he's got half left.
Yeah, so then he could drink it later, do whatever he wants, give it to somebody else. Okay. Give it to somebody else that already drank, because now they can have the pogum if they want.
Yeah, but you've already drunk from it, so therefore it's...
It's pogum, right. It's pogum, right. So drink, you could drink it during the meal,
What about some men feel like their wives need to have what they drink out of? Is that just a minhag?
To specifically give that cup? I don't know.
I've seen that also.
I don't know, maybe practical, I don't know. I didn't come across that in any of the sources for a reason for that.
The husband passes it to his wife.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've seen that
too.
Okay,
so we'll change that
then. Option 2. In Shar HaTzion, this is the Mishnah Berurah in source 9. Same author.
Number 9.
And so it's like, Ukshashotin kulam mikosh shal bracha. When everybody drinks from the kosh shal bracha, afagav tuhushotem mitchila, he says, even though the guy who says Kiddush drinks from it first. Mikri kos she'eno pogum. He says, maybe we could argue that the kos is not, that it's not pogum. T'chashuvin k'mekadesh gufa. That it's as if everybody is all part of the same mekadesh and all part of the same thing. The problem would be if you pour it out, mikoso lekoson, that would be the problem. That the yain pogum, but if everybody is drinking from the same kos, then it's not necessarily pogum. So the other option, right, is to pass the cup around, which.
Yeah. I don't understand why it would be pogum anyway if you pour it out.
Right, well, I think we're assuming that the Shulchan Aruch, when he says it means that everybody drinks something that's not pogum. I think that's what he...
No, but I don't understand what would make it pogum. If everyone's being Yosef with the same Kiddush, so if this wine is being Mekadesh by everybody, then I don't understand why everybody's separate sips would make... Why the first sip would then count as...
I think because usually pogum is when you take a sip of it.
Yeah, but that would mean pogum. That your second sip is now pogum also.
What do you mean?
Like, okay, let's say you make a Kiddush and there's 10 people around the table. So you take a sip of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess, right.
Okay, I don't know. He said... I don't know what he says. That's what he says. Shortzim says that it's not pogum.
Pogum, basically,
marinate
is basically it's a dirty cup.
You took a sip of it, so that would make it... used. Yeah. Blemished, unfit. Yeah. Yeah. So option two is to just all share the same cup. Option three... is a very interesting option that you see it sometimes in yeshivas, I think. Well, it depends on the yeshiva. You see it some other places. The Aruch HaShulchan tells us, he tells it a bit roundabout. He says, Einham, in source 10, Einham mesubin reshaim lito mikosh al kiddush kodem hamekadesh. You're not allowed to drink before the person who makes kiddush or somebody else that drinks that initial amount, you can't drink before that. But medvar mamrum kashem zukim lekosos al mekadesh kigon she'ein lifneim kosos bifnei atzman. This whole halacha only applies if you don't have a kos in front of you, i.e., if you decided to pour yourself a 3-ounce cup of wine in front of you. Everybody poured themselves 3-ounce cups of wine. We heard the person say kiddush. We said amen. You could drink it before he could, and you don't have any kos because this is itself is like a kosher bracha for you. So that's option three, would be for everybody to pour out a little bit, 3 ounces of wine in front of them.
To the full kiddush.
Yeah.
I've been to it.
You saw people do that. Everybody pours out 3.3. Yeah, you don't have to wait. Right.
So
pour it out.
Cup is not involved,
right. You don't have to pour. You don't have to wait for the mekadesh to drink it first because you have a kosher bracha in front of you. Right. We talked to Shomei Kaona. His kiddush worked for you, so it was. It's as if you had your own kiddush, so you could just drink your 3 ounces that were in front of you. And it's not pogum.
The community kiddush, you can do that.
Though. And the community kiddush, you could absolutely do that. That might be, yeah.
We never used to pour.
But then what about the...
Well, if you're pouring it out for everybody, you can just pour a little bit. You only have to pour a little bit. This is a solution to the fact that if you were to drink it and then start pouring it, then it would be unfit. A solution is to just pour before 3 ounces, and then it's as if... I mean, you go through a lot of grape juice if you do this, so that's
right. Yeah, we get first and finish the bacon. Kiddush, of course.
But right, but not drinks.
No, right. Yeah, but you got to wait till he finishes.
Right. Let's say you're at a lunch and there's 25 people and you see he's got his 25 glasses all lined up there. You think like this is going to take forever, so you think I'm just going to. You maybe ask for permission, I don't know. You pour yourself 3.3 ounces, let him say kiddush. You don't have to wait for him to pour it out. You don't have to wait for it to come to you. You just drink yours right away, and you fulfill your kiddush.
You have to drink at least half of it.
But you, right, good point. You would have to drink...
So it's got
to
be a big enough cup.
You'd have to drink, right, you would have to drink half of it.
But then you're not getting any of the wine that was blessed by the main blessing.
Yeah, but that's okay because your wine is as if it was blessed the same way because his kiddush applied for you and you had the cup in front of you that had the right amount in it. So it's as if you said the entire kiddush yourself and you...
With that cup, yeah. The ideal thing is, though, is for the person making kiddush to everybody to have a little bit of that wine that you said kiddush on, basically.
Or, well, and when I was in yeshiva, somebody told me this was
the idea.
He told me that he thought this was an ideal, yeah. Because that's what he thought.
Solves
yeah.
any delay, that's...
I don't know. I don't know what the difference is. I think that they're both... I do think that they would both be the same.
Or
I think they're both the same.
Say that he made the kiddush, and we all heard it. That was enough.
That is enough. That is enough. We'd say that it's preferable for you to drink a little bit from it, but what we want you to drink, we don't want you to drink the unfit wine. We want you to drink... Yeah. The fit wine, but if you don't drink from it, that's okay too. That's
if you
okay
drink
too.
The unfit wine,
that's
okay
too.
Too.
That's okay too. It's just we can set up a situation where we can fulfill an ideal way where you're not drinking unfit wine without it being too labor intensive or strenuous. Where it's a simple solution. Yeah, Gary, you had a question.
But ultimately, you don't have to drink at all.
Right. Ultimately, one person. Ultimately, one person has to drink.
Right. But the other people don't have to drink at all.
And when they have when there's a thing where they have different kinds of wine. Some people want red wine, some want white wine, and some want grape juice. The thing is...
Good, so everybody pour out 3.3 ounces of whatever you want in front of you.
Just have it in front of them? Is that how
pour it out in front of you. Pour your three ounces.
Actually the simplest one.
Yeah. Pour it out in front of you. What you want.
Yeah.
Have kavana that you're going to fulfill your obligation of kiddush. The person who says is going to have kavana to fulfill you. As soon as he finishes, you could just drink. Yes.
Right. You can use a little...
because those are very small. Exactly. Okay, we're not going to get to talk about the dinam of the kiddush cup, which we'll push off until next week about using disposable. The final point we're going to talk about here is it a way to change yayin pagum? Let's say you only have enough. You have yayin pagum. You just didn't want to drink it. You made kiddush on your whole cup of wine, and you just weren't in the mood for Shabbos lunch to drink it. So you think, oh, I have a great idea. I'll save it for Avdallah, right? I'll use it for Avdallah. So really, you can't because you already used it once. Mm-hmm. But the question is, could you try to save it? Can you do something to make this wine as if it was unused wine to use it again? Definitely. So for this, I found.
Well, I have another question. What happens if you're making kiddush and with a child or somebody, and the thing is, the child knocks the kiddush cup out of your hand and it spills all over the floor and some on you. The thing is,
happens.
What do you?
The Shulchan Aruch has that. This is the case. We can talk about this. We can talk about it next week a little bit. The question about you said kiddush. You said mikadesh haShabbat, and the whole thing fell over. What should you do? I think in short, you would make just a Borei Pri HaGafen on your next cup. I think in short, but I'll try to look into that just to confirm.
Wow!
Right, you don't say that. You don't have to say the whole thing again. You could. The other question in the Shulchan Aruch, very interesting. That if you want, we could talk about it. Is what you said your whole kiddush and you realize it was a cup of water, not wine. That's another question Shulchan Aruch talks about.
Son-in-law pours water into.
Your wife can hand you the cup, her cup, if she had wine.
Right.
She can hand it, and you can just drink from that.
Well, she could just drink from it, and that would be okay too.
Oh,
that would
be okay.
Everything we just talked about only pertains to Friday night. Is that correct?
For which parts? What do you mean? The amount that you need to drink.
The amount. And,
yes.
And
the
what,
size.
And the wine,
yes.
Versus something other than wine.
So there's. We didn't talk about wine versus grape juice. If you want, we can also try to talk about that. There's a chumrah that I don't think is followed. The Brisker Rav has a chumrah that he thinks that during the daytime everybody needs to drink, and at the nighttime only the person who says it. He says that that's a function of the nature of the kiddush is, but followed. That's not my impression. Is that that's not something? I'm sure in his yeshivas, his son's yeshivas, they follow that. But otherwise,
the requirement to use only a grape product.
Versus something else. That's going to be could be a whole topic on its own, right. About using other alcoholic beverages for kiddush. We'll have to, that's on our to do list. It's on our to do list. Yeah.
Did you want to make another point before you open up the floor to questions?
Oh yeah, I want to just talk about how you can fix yayin pagum. So this is in source 13. It comes from I found this in the website from the Hezer Yeshiva over here in Malei Adumim. So I don't think it said who wrote the article. I'm not sure who wrote the article, but he tells us Nechluku Arishonim in source 13. Ketzad mitaknim yain pogum. How can you fix used wine? So Harosh, one of the Rishonim, maybe Yerushalmi, Shanita on the talking coast pogum aide ho seven yain ho afilu mine. Just add a little bit of more wine to it, and now we would say that this is not pogum. And why does this work? Because he explains apostle shall yain pogum shehu have shiure kosos. Because we view it as if it's used leftovers. V'lachen hosev et matmai mafkiyam mimeno shem shirayim. Right, adding a little bit is going to take away its name of shirayim. It's going to say, well, it's not shirayim anymore because we added some more to it. It's like taking your Shabbos leftovers and adding ketchup to that or something like that. You know, you can say, okay, well, it's leftovers, but I added to it, so now it's a little bit better.
So is there a technical minimum you have to add to it?
Very good. So he says to add a little bit, and we're going to see the Mordechai hevi shebe'art sarfat. Savor shalom nitan le'taking yam pogum aydos evet mayim. They did not like this because v'chem evi abach mas bi abach shekeven sheyam pogum mosivin is batel barov. They said you can't do this because we have a concept in halacha batel barov, something that's a minority gets subsumed into the majority. When you just add a tiny drop into it, then it's that tiny drop that you add is batel barov, and we would say the tiny drop now has the status of yayin pogum as well. So they didn't like. So the Mordechai quotes not to do this. So the.
Put a lot.
Right, so the solution is so you put a lot, which is what I, in the past when I have done this, I have added a lot of wine, but that's only step one, because now we have step two. But the tour quotes, Shenitan letakin as pigimas yain, I did mizigas lekankan, pour back into the bottle. Because presumably, I don't know what the mechanics are, but presumably you have a lot in the bottle. Right, so now it's bottle barov to the bottle, you're okay again. So then he quotes that the Bach says that what you should do is, because it's the machlokas, is really do both. Take some wine, or if what I would take a lot of wine to make sure it's not you don't have a bottle barov problem, pour a lot of wine into your cup, take that, pour it back into the bottle, and now, good, you can use the wine in the bottle for the future, and that would be the way to solve your yain pogum. Yes.
Can I tell you that whoever came up with this did not check with his wife? Because that's disgusting.
Okay, well, I've done it, so. So what we talked about here, I'll take questions in a minute, what we talked about this morning was saying Kiddush for other people. We talked about the possibility of applying Shomea Ka'ona. We said Barov Am Hadra Melech, that we want to praise God with as many people as possible. Therefore, the best thing to do, because right, Kiddush is praising Hashem for creating the world, for taking us out of Egypt, the best thing is for one person to say Kiddush for everybody around the table. Then we talked about who drinks. At least one person has to drink mulei lugma of a cheekful, which is half of a revi'it. We talked about the shirim for the revi'it. Could be 3, 3.3, 3.8, 4.2, and 5.3. Those are our options. So you do need to try to make sure you get out about 2 ounces. I don't know what to tell you. Or the Starkey website actually had, they said what you should do is you should fill up your cheek and fill up your whole mouth and spit it out. Then divide that in half. Then you'll know. I just assume that this is
when you come around to our house for Kiddush next year.
I just assume. No, this is, they say do water. They say use water. I just assume that this was an objective shear. I just assume that it was objective. They say you could have an idea if your cheek fill is 1.6 or 1.8 or whatever. Just try to drink 2 ounces, and I think you'll be okay if you drink 2 ounces. Then we talked about the options of, we said best case in it, the really preferable for everybody to drink a bit from the wine, and we talked about the different options for pouring that out, and we finally concluded with the yain pogum, how you fix it, pour more wine into your cup, then pour it back into the bottle, then you won't have a yain pogum problem. Next week, or probably over the next 2 weeks, we still have to talk about Kiddush b'makom su'uda, the obligation of saying Kiddush where you're going to have your meal. We have to talk about, within that, there's two, one is the, what happens if you want to have a mizona before you go to shul, for health reasons, let's say, should you say Kiddush first? Part two, a very, very interesting question that I'm I haven't researched it yet, but I'm going to look into this, is you said Kiddush in shul, now you come home, do you need to say Kiddush at home again? That's a big machlokes. We're going to talk about what underlies both of the opinions. It's machlokes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Soloveitchik. We're going to talk about what underlies that. We're going to talk about Kiddush on challah versus Kiddush on other beverages as well. We still have sitting versus standing and using disposable cups. All those are on our to-do list for the next few weeks. So it's okay.